couple of weeks ago, my son took out the Usborne Book of Knowledge. It's a homeschool book, and he was reading through the section on how your body works, and specifically, he started reading the section on how babies are made. And so here's my son, and he's reading the facts of life, and it has illustrations, child-friendly illustrations, and all the anatomy and all these terms, and he's mispronouncing some of the terms. Those terms, you can talk to a fellow adult about that if you're not familiar with that yet. But he's learning about how babies are made, and I'm kind of a little trepidatious here as he's learning all about that. But these days, by the fifth grade, you do kind of need to be familiar with these terms, and they start to teach it in the schools. So he's learning how babies are born. And, for the last 3 months here in the English service, we haven't been focusing on spiritual, physical birth, but we've been promoting and emphasizing spiritual birth. But to have a spiritual birth, we need some basic knowledge. We need to understand some of the basics of how babies are born, not physically, but spiritually. And for these next several months, we're not only going to be talking about how the spiritual baby is born, but as my good friend HD and Kali know, that once that baby comes out, we got to learn how to nurture it and take care of him and help him to grow up to be strong and healthy. But we need to start with the basics of how do we get that baby to be born. And so this morning, what I would like to do is I want to go back to the basics, and I want to focus on what is it that is the gospel? What is the message that people need to believe in order to experience a spiritual rebirth? And additionally, it is said that reasons that people don't proclaim their faith, one is a fear of rejection, and another is because of a lack of a know-how or a lack of a method on how to proclaim the gospel. And so this morning I want us to go at the second of those, and I want us to have a very practical method on proclaiming the gospel. So if you're in here this morning and you have not yet become a Christian, or you're not sure what it is to be a Christian, I hope that as a result of our time, you will become clear, and it will become clear to you on what it is to be a Christian. If you have already trusted in Christ, then my hope is that through our time this morning, you will have a very practical method of proclaiming the gospel so that you can start to help others to experience spiritual rebirth. Now, for this next several weeks, we're going to be a little bit different in that we're going to be going through different verses in the Bible. If you've been in our English service, you know that one way we really like to preach is we preach through books and passages and chapters. We're still going to be expositional, but for these next several weeks, we're going to be looking at variety of verses a little bit more. But let's start off this morning, and I'll be going to a lot of verses in Romans, but usually when I share the gospel, when I proclaim and try to help others experience spiritual rebirth, I try to build some rapport with someone. So I'll talk to them, I'll ask them a little bit about their background, their family, their occupation. And after building some rapport, here is a question that you can ask someone. Has anyone ever shown you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you have a relationship with God? Okay? You can simply ask a person, may I ask you a question? Has anyone ever shown you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you are going to go to heaven or that you have a relationship with God? Just simple as that. And then they respond, and then you simply say, may I? And if they say yes, then you can start to share with them. Now, what I'm going to share with you is called the bad news and the good news. And under each news, there's 2 points, 2 verses, and 2 illustrations. And I have to credit Evantel, Larry Moyer, who has produced this method. Now, I've shared the gospel with hundreds of people personally in my lifetime. And this is a method that I really appreciate. So it's bad news, good news, 2 points, 2 verses, 2 illustrations. Now, the first point is, let's see here. Okay. Oops. Sorry. Okay, the first point is that we are all sinners. We are all sinners. And the verse is found in Romans 3:23. So what I'll do is I'll take my Bible and I'll open up the Bible to Romans 3:23, and I let them read it. Now, I know we're in a digital age, so you might be taking your phone, but I still kind of like to use the Bible. I'm kind of old school. It kind of gives a little bit more to me of a sense of authority. So I'll take my Bible after I've said, has anyone ever taken a Bible and shown you how you can know for sure that you will have a relationship with God or that you'll go to heaven? So I will, then I'll open up and I'll say the first point is bad news. And, you know, bad news is something about us, Angie, but the good news is something about God. And the bad news first is that we are all sinners. So then I'll turn to Romans 3:23, and I'll let them read it, okay, because that kind of gets them involved. Now, you have to be careful because sometimes you might be sharing with someone who's illiterate. So you don't want to insult them and say and ask them to read when they don't know how to read. But Angie, she's a well-educated person, so we're going to let her read it, okay? Angie, can you read that there? Romans 3:23, and what does that say? Let's see.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
That's right. Okay, thank you. And so, we are all sinners. And then I might ask the person what they think sin is. So, Nathaniel, what do you think sin is? Okay, you know, they might be a little silent for a little bit, so you might have to help them out. So, but, you know, kind of try to interact with them. But I try to tell them that sin is anything that is done against God. It's breaking His laws, breaking His commandments, going against His will. I try to give them some examples of what, you know, sin, Nathaniel, it might be any time that we lie or we cheat or we're proud. It's attitudes, actions, thoughts that are against God. But what I'm trying to help the person to see is that we're all guilty of this falling short of God's perfection. And the illustration that we can use is the rock, okay? We can use the illustration of the rock. And we can tell the person that, you know, sin is missing the mark. It's an archery term that where you missed God's perfection, but it's like a rock, and it's like trying to throw a rock to the North Pole, right? And I interact with the person, and I might say, Sam, you know, Sam, it's like me trying to throw a rock to the North Pole, Sam. Now, Sam, maybe you could throw it 50 yards. And I could throw it 30 yards. And I always try to put myself as throwing it less than, you know, Sam. So it makes him feel good, you know. But I should make him feel bad because he's a sinner, right? Maybe I should switch it around. Okay. All right. So, Sam, maybe you can throw it 50 yards. I can throw it 30 yards. But, Sam, could any of us hit the North Pole? That's right. And so that's how it is with God, that we're all sinners and none of us can reach God's perfection. And then I might ask a question like this, you know, I might say, John, you know, what percentage of the people in the world do you think have sinned? Right. 100%. And so we're really driving home that sin is something that we've all been guilty of and none of us can reach God's perfection. So that's the first point, that we've all sinned. And false, we are all sinners. But the second point is that the penalty for sin is death. The penalty for sin is death. And the verse is Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And then I might talk to the person and I might ask them, Kevin, you know, Kevin, what, do you know what a wage is? Yeah, what's a wage, Kevin? That's right. How much someone is paid. A wage is something that you get or something you receive for the work that you've done. And Kevin, the Bible here says that because of the work we've done, which is sin, that what we receive from God is death, and that is both a physical death, but also a spiritual death of not only physical death where the body is separated from the spirit, but a spiritual death where we are separated from God because of our sin, and that's the consequences or the wages. So that's my illustration, right? Wages. It's what we receive because of the work we have done. And I might tell them that, you know, I used to work at McDonald's, Kevin, and every 2 weeks I received a paycheck for the work I've done. And because of the work I've done against God, this is what I'm going to receive, death, spiritual and physical death. And, you know, Kevin, this is a pretty bleak picture, right? I mean, your brother John just told us that 100% of the people are sinned, have sinned, and what is the result or the consequence to all these 100% of the people? Yeah, eternal death, right? And that's what we call hell. But but Josh, you know, we need some good news, right? Are you ready for some good news? So we have, we're all sinners, and the penalty for sin is death. But the good news is that Christ died for you. Christ died for you. And Romans 5:8. And again, I'll take my Bible and I'll show it to them and let them read it. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so, Josh, the principle here is substitution, that we should have received this punishment, this penalty of eternal separation from God. But Jesus was our substitute, and he took that penalty for us by dying on the cross. And 3 days later, he rose again from the grave to prove that he was God and that he could conquer sin and death. So don't leave out the resurrection as you're helping people to be spiritually reborn. It's a part of the gospel. It's a very critical part of the gospel. But that's what Jesus did for us. And the illustration we can use is cancer. And so I might talk to Josh, and I will say, well, Josh, let's suppose you were in the hospital and dying of cancer. But I really loved you, and I was willing to take the cancer cells out of your body and put them into my body. And, well, Josh, if I did that, what would happen to me? That's right. I think he said you would die. Is that what he said? Yeah. And Josh, what would happen to you? Yeah, you would live, right? And so that's exactly what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross for our sins and rose again. Okay. So friends, we're three quarters of the way through the 4 points, but let's take a quick review. I've built rapport with my friend. After building some rapport, I asked him, has anyone ever shown you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you have a relationship with God? May I? And then we have 2 points, 2 verses, 2 illustrations. Bad news first. And the first point of the bad news is what? We are all sinners. And the verse is Romans 3:23. The illustration is the rock, right? The second point is the penalty for sin is death. The verse is Romans 6:23. And the illustration is wages, right? Okay. The first part of the good news is Christ died for you, right? The verse is Romans 5:8, and the illustration is cancer, right? Okay. Then after that, the second, Joe, just as the bad news got worse, the good news gets better. The second part of the good news is that you can be saved through faith in Christ. You can be saved through faith in Christ. And the verse is found in Ephesians 2:8-9. And again, we open up the Bible and we let them read it. And it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that any man should boast, that anyone should boast. And as I get into this verse, I help them understand 3 important terms. The first is grace. And I'll ask them, and I'll say, Linus, what do you think grace is? Of course, I kind of gave them the answer already, but, that's okay. Yeah, okay, very good, yeah. And I talk with them that grace is this unmerited favor. It's something that we're given that we didn't work for. Okay? And then I ask them, we're saved by grace. Linus, what are we saved from? Yeah, we're saved from from both the penalty and the power of sin, okay? And then I try to talk with them a little bit about faith. And so I'll say, Harry, what do you think faith is? Very good. Put trust. Putting your trust in something. Believing. And I like to define it as trust in someone or something for something. Okay, that's Pastor Wade's definition of faith. Trust in someone or something for something. And I know you guys have seen me do this numerous times. You know what illustration we're going to use? That's right. We're going to use the chair. So here we go, guys. This once again, faith is like trusting in a chair, right? And what am I trusting in this chair for, guys? Harry? That's right. I'm not trusting in anything of my own efforts or own power to hold me up. I have to trust in something else, something outside of myself. You know, if I try to trust in myself to hold my... I did it again. I can't trust in myself to hold myself up. You know, when I'm squatting down, you know, fall right on my bottom, just like I did again. You can't trust in yourself, right? And in the same way, when it comes to having a relationship with God or going to heaven, I can't trust in my own good works. You say, well, I go to church. I read my Bible. I pray. I'm religious. That's not enough. The Bible says that we're not saved by our own good works. And so the illustration we can use is the chair. And so after I've shared the good bad news and the good news with my friend, and made sure that it's clear, then I will ask them very directly, you know, Kelly, is there anything that would keep you from trusting in Christ right now? And, you know, Kelly, she might respond, give me a number of responses. Well, I just need some more time. You know, I've had people tell me, I need some more time to think about it. And that's, I'm fine with that. I want them to genuinely have true faith in Christ. So, but if they say that, I might tell them, well, you know, I don't want to pressure you, but none of us knows how long we're going to live. And so I want to encourage you not to delay, because today is the day of salvation. Or they might say, you know, oh, I just want to make sure that I'm going to be a true Christian. I don't want to, you know, just say I'm a Christian, and then the next day I don't act like a Christian. And if they say something like that, I try to encourage them, and I say, well, you know, I appreciate that. I appreciate you wanting to count the cost. However, I would encourage you to trust in Christ today so that he can give you the power to live the Christian life. Right now, you're just to try to live it on your own is not something you can do. Or they might say, oh, there's too many hypocrites. And I don't want to believe in Jesus because there's so many hypocrites in the church. And then I just try to keep pointing them back to Jesus. And I say, hey, look. You're not trusting in the followers of the teacher, but you're trusting in the teacher himself. What do you think of Jesus Christ? But whatever it is, I might talk with them through some of their hesitations for trusting in Christ. But eventually, if they are willing to trust in Christ, I will invite them to do so. And I'll say, you know, you can place your faith in Christ right now, and you can do so through praying to God. Now, Now, the prayer doesn't save you. And make it clear that it's not praying that saves you, but it's that faith in Jesus Christ. Faith from your heart. And the prayer is just merely an expression of your faith. But I might lead them in a prayer, and I'll say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and that my sin is worthy of eternal separation from you. Thank you that Jesus died and rose again to pay for the penalty of my sins and to give me eternal life. I trust in Christ as my Savior, and I pray in His name. Amen. And if a person is truly and genuinely ready, then I will pray with them. And maybe just now, you yourself express that faith to God, and praise the Lord if you did. So, that is our how we share the gospel. And let me see, I have my clicker down here. But let's do a quick review. I'll build some rapport with someone. After building some rapport, I'll ask them, has anyone ever shown you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you have a relationship with God? There's 2 points, 2 verses, 2 illustrations. And the first point is, let's see, what is it? We are all sinners. And the verse is Romans 3:23, and the illustration is the rock, right? Second point is the penalty for sin is death. The verse is Romans 6:23, and the illustration is wages, right? The good news, the first point is Christ died for you. The verse is Romans 5:8. And the illustration is cancer, right? The second point of the good news is you can be saved through faith in Christ. The verse is Ephesians 2:8-9. And the illustration is chair. Yes, sorry. Okay. All right. Very good. Now, if the person has trusted in Christ, usually I'll take them to John 5:24, which says, if anyone hears my word and believes in him who sent me, he no longer comes under judgment, but has passed from death into life. And I'll interact with the person and I'll say, Joe, did you hear God's word? And he says, yes. And then I said, do you believe that Jesus is from God and that he can give eternal life? And he says, yes. And if we turn to John 5:24, then we see there that now, Joe, does it say right there that you might have eternal life in John 5:24? It says, oh, no, it says he has eternal life. And then does it say he might not come into judgment? No, it says he does not come into judgment. And that he might have passed from death into life? No, that he has passed from death into life. So, Will, you know, you can be 100% sure that you have eternal life based on John 5:24. Friends, this morning, you know, because in our English worship, we've been promoting a lot of the proclamation of the gospel. But yet, if we don't have some of the basic knowledge, some of the basic know-how of how to proclaim the gospel, then we won't be very good at producing spiritual babies. Just like in many Asian families, They want their children to have lots of children. But if you don't know some of the basics of how babies come to be, then you won't be very successful in producing children. And, you know, there's a lot of theories out there, a lot of myths, especially that are told to children about where babies come from, right? And you've probably heard of some of them. One of them, the most classic, is the stork. Anyone ever hear of the stork theory of where babies come from? Yeah, that you know, a stork goes somewhere and picks up a baby and then just drops it on the front door of the parents. Or another theory is called the FedEx theory. Or maybe it's, Amazon or Domino's pizza theory. It's just that somehow just a baby is just delivered somehow mysteriously to your, you know, front door. Or another theory is kissing. You know, sometimes children have this myth that if you kiss, you know, that's how you get babies. Or the last is maybe some people think that, human babies come from eggs, that somehow, mom and dad have to lay an egg and then a baby is born. Well, I know for sure that Minister Randall is glad and HD is glad. We just celebrated Arabelle's and Foon, Arabelle's 1-year-old birthday yesterday or a couple of days ago. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that, you know, Minister Randall was not basing his ideas, his beliefs on how to have babies on some of these myths, but he was basing his ideas on truth and reality. And so, friends, I hope that this morning you've acquired the truth of what the gospel is, and you've acquired a very practical method on how you can help others to be spiritually reborn. So I want to challenge you this week to ask one person, may I ask you a question? Has anyone ever taken a Bible and shown you how you can have a relationship with God? May I? I want to challenge you to ask one person that question this week. And in your Sunday school classes in the next week, we'll have opportunities to actually practice with one another on proclaiming the gospel to others. So friends, I hope you will take the challenge and go out this week, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. So let's pray together. As we're praying, I just want to know, maybe you're in here this morning and you have never truly trusted in Christ. But today, this morning, it's become more clear what it is that you don't want to trust in your religious works. You don't want to trust in your good works or in yourself. But you realize this morning that you are a sinner. And it doesn't matter if you've come to church for many years, you haven't been baptized, or you have been baptized. It doesn't matter. But this morning, you've had a clearer understanding that you are a sinner and that you are saved by grace and through what Jesus Christ has done. And this morning, you have or you want to trust in Jesus Christ as the one who's died on the cross and risen again for your sins. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand so I can know that you this morning have trusted in Christ as your Savior, or you would like to trust in Christ as your Savior. Okay. All right. For the first time, or you're not sure. But. Okay, thank you. Okay, let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for your great love for us, and thank you, Lord, that for all that Jesus has done for us. Thank you, Lord, that we can have a relationship with you because of Jesus. And help us this week, O Lord, to ask one person if we can show them from the Bible how they can know for sure that they have eternal life and that they have a relationship with you. We pray in Jesus' name.